it's time for the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast, featuring Jonathan Rates, Alex Huff, and Braden Crowe.
What is up, and welcome into another amazing episode of the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Tonight we are running a little thin. Being an average pro is a busy lifestyle. So we only got two of us here. Myself, Justin, first time hosting here, and I'm joined by Braden. After 9 weeks, Braden, how you feeling?
I feel good. It's good to be back after a mini hiatus. Work got a little bit busy the last couple weeks, so it's good to be back. Week 9, we are here. Definitely have playoff chances, looking good for playoffs in every league except one. I'm in the most unlucky league possible. I'm literally, I hate to admit it, I'm 1-8. No matter how hard I try, I get all of the great like waiver ads, like all the big names. Like I grabbed Achane and I got to grab like Jerome Ford whenever that happened, and it doesn't matter. It's just, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, so any fantasy advice that Braden gives is coming from those other leagues, not from the 1-8 league experience.
Yeah, that's exactly it, for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, week 9 already in the books, over halfway through the NFL season now. Last week marked halfway through the fantasy season for most formats, because we dodged that week 18 where some playoff teams don't play all their players. So just jumping right into things, we started early morning on Sunday with the Dolphins and Chiefs. We thought that was going to be a high scoring game, as did the sports betting books in Vegas, had a high over under, but they looked pretty drab on both sides. What did you see there, Braden?
I don't know. I feel like drab is a strong word. I didn't mind it. Side note, I think this was like the best lineup as far as like games go all season long we've had, from like in the morning, starting with Dolphins Chiefs, noon, there was a full slate of games, some that ended like really well. And we'll get into all the fun stories, the Texans and Josh Dobbs and all that. And then you had the Cowboys Eagles at the 3:30 slot. And then you had the Bengals Bills at the night slot. It was like the best day possible. But I mean, I liked the morning. I liked the Dolphins Chiefs game. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a 41-38 game like I probably would have loved to have seen. But I mean, still a lot of talent, a lot of, I think, exciting plays. And the Tyreek Hill revenge game narrative was cool to watch. And yeah, I don't know what Germany did to deserve Dolphins Chiefs and what England did to deserve like Atlanta Jacksonville, but if I was a German, I'd be a lot happier than if I was English, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think Germany got the better slate there. You make a good point. There were a lot of good games this Sunday. And I don't know. I kind of woke up early to watch that Dolphins and Chiefs game and expected a shootout, and then we didn't see the Chiefs score a single point in the second half. So I was a little bummed there, but there was a good storyline with the Tyreek revenge game, even though he didn't get in the end zone. I'll give it to you. It was a good game.
I will say they didn't look like peak performance on either side. But I think with the Chiefs bye week, this is like, it's hard to buy low on Kelsey or Mahomes, but this is like the only chance you're going to have. So yeah, it was not great weeks from either of them, and then a bye week. And so if you just got to have one of them, this is the last time, and you've probably have to absorb this week absolutely to make it happen. So you're still paying a huge price, but at least you have a chance. And I think if they both went off in this game, there still would be no chance.
Yeah. I totally agree with you there. You got Kelsey last two games. This is half PPR. But he had 8.8 against Denver, and then 2.9. And remember, that's half PPR. So a little lower than PPR would be, but still just uncharacteristic games from Kelce. So definitely the best chance that you'll have to buy low probably all season there. So we suggest you go take a shot at that if you can. So yeah, after we got through the morning, we moved on to the noon games. And
yeah, speaking of great games, let's talk about the next game on our list.
Yeah, this was a great game for one of the teams. The Browns, you know, just ran away with it, but the Cardinals looked out of tune with Clayton Tune at the helm. Braden shaking his head. Pre-show, I mentioned I was going to use all the alliterations and puns and everything. He wasn't a fan. So if you're not a fan of those, sorry, there's going to be quite a few of those in this episode with me hosting. But yeah, so the Cardinals did not look good, got shut out by the Browns. We, you know, talked last week about maybe McBride being an up and coming tight end. And then he, I think, had maybe two catches. So that was not great to see. But the light at the end of the tunnel is that we could be getting Murray back. So how big are your expectations this week if Murray comes back for the Cardinals? Does it change a whole lot?
You know, I started looking at like preliminary rankings from other analysts and other sports sites, and they're kind of ranking Murray as if he's like back to normal. Like I've seen places where he's ranked as high as like the third best quarterback on the week this upcoming week. And I just can't get there. Like I think that he's healthy, but there is just a reality of like, you have not played football since, like, you have not played full contact, like people coming after you, tackling you in your 5'7" frame. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like he's maybe a little bit gun shy, and I don't know. I don't have the highest of expectations. I think that after this week, I think he'll get right. And I'm looking forward to what McBride will be and what Hollywood can be. And even James Conner now, but this week it'll be better than last week, but I don't know if it's going to be even as good as like Josh Dobbs was.
It's tough coming back from injury. We see that a lot of times.
I mean, who do they have this week?
They have the Falcons at home in Arizona. So
I think the Cardinals actually win that game.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals win that game, and I'm hoping they win that game because what Arthur Smith is doing is a crime.
Oh my gosh, we could have a whole episode about that guy. He is ruining,
but that's
so
what he
many
wants.
Fantasy assets.
He wants us to talk about him. He wants. That's
he does.
What. That's so. Let's. We out of spite, we're not going to talk about him anymore.
Okay, I can hold to that.
Let's talk about your guy in this next game. The rookie of the year.
Yeah. So real quick, just to move on, Kyler Murray is 5'10". At least that's what Sleeper has.
Is that what his driver's license says?
His driver's license probably says 6 foot if we're being real. I just had to clarify that. Can't take 3 inches off my short king there. But all right. Yeah, we'll move on to the leading, has to be, rookie of the year candidate, CJ Stroud. He was just absolutely spectacular. I put him in the show doc, and then you put another bullet point below it of, yeah, wow. I think that's all
that's
of our reactions.
Feel,
yeah,
that
sums up our reactions quite well. Had just an exceptional game with 470 yards, I said that a little weird, and 5 touchdowns, one of them being a game-winning drive with 46 seconds left when they got the ball. So what do you expect from CJ Stroud moving forward? Was this just like a crazy game that we won't see him even get close to touching again, or can we expect some 300-plus yard games from him?
I think you can expect 300-yard games from him. I don't think you can expect 400-yard games from him.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, what he's doing is special, and what he is doing is really, really, really hard to do in an NFL franchise. Like, put fantasy aside, he is not single-handedly, because I believe D'Amico Ryans is a huge part of it, but they have turned the Texans around practically overnight. And it's special to see. It's fun to see. And I think he's probably like a low-end QB1 rest of season.
Yeah.
Right?
I see no reason to go against that. I mean, he's got, obviously was the QB1 this week, and then he's got another QB10 finish and some fringe QB1 finishes. So if he can keep that up, like, yeah, he definitely has the right to be in that conversation.
I mean, I'd probably take him over, oh man, you know, like Hurts, Burrow, they're ahead of him. Mahomes is ahead of him. But like I think Lamar is a question, which is crazy. And I think Dak is a question, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we thought any rookie QB this year was gonna challenge those guys.
I mean, especially with his receiving core. Like, I don't think any Houston Texans receiver was drafted in redraft. Like, I don't, maybe Nico Collins, but like Tank Dell was not, and Robert Woods was not, and Dalton Schultz was not. And I think a lot of it comes from they can't run the ball, so they're going to manufacture touches and manufacture quick passes and slants and screens and ways to get the ball out quickly. But it's just crazy what he's doing. I'm impressed.
Yeah, no reason to not be impressed. What we've seen has been pretty incredible. Two quick notes there before we move on. Since I'm hosting this episode, I will point out that I said he will break the rookie single season record passing yards. And I was a little scared there for a few weeks, but I think this puts him right back on track. So
yeah,
I'll start taking my victory lap heading on the way to being right there.
He is for sure. I mean, right now he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He is 7th in passing yards in the NFL. And he's only behind Tua, Howell, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is still ahead of him. That's crazy.
Will Kirk Cousins stay ahead of him?
Probably not.
Ah, dang. Yeah, no, poor guy. Prayers out to that guy. He's just such a good guy. So sad to see him go. But he'll be back better than ever, because you like that. You like that. All right. Anyway, moving on. And then quick note, CJ Stroud is a Buckeye. Got to throw that out there, because QB bust you. I don't know. People love to hate on Ohio State for not having a quarterback that has done well in the NFL. But I think we're finally starting to outrun that with, you know, Justin Fields looking, you know, like he's holding his own. Maybe not incredible, but CJ Stroud's definitely starting us in the right direction. All right. So yeah, done talking about college football. Moving on. I don't even know what to call it, except Josh Dobbs pulled a Baker Mayfield from last year when Baker Mayfield came in maybe 2 days before the Thursday night game for the Rams. Josh Dobbs pretty much did the same thing, but better. I saw a video, and I'm sure everyone who follows football saw it, but he was showing his snap cadence to the Vikings linemen before he went into the game, and then goes off for 24, almost 25 fantasy points. So what in the world happened there, Braden?
Josh Dobbs is just the man. Like, it was cool to see another Minnesota miracle of, like, you just can't help but cheer for it. Of, you have absolute heartbreak with Kirk Cousins going down. They're without Justin Jefferson. Cam Akers gets hurt in this game. And it's like, it is hard to learn a playbook. It is hard to learn a cadence. It is hard to mesh with wide receivers. It's hard to anticipate blitzes, because defenses play offenses differently than other offenses. I mean, it's just incredible what he did. And so to see a win like that was awesome. The reality of it, I don't think that he'll earn a starting job next season because of this, but I think he is the best backup quarterback you could ever have. And as far as rest of the season goes, like, I think you should feel just fine starting TJ Hawkinson. He went to TJ Hawkinson very often. Addison played fine. So the Vikings are a legitimate offense, and they won't be what Kirk Cousins was, but they're very much a legitimate offense.
Yeah, he is still currently the quarterback 10 on the season. Thought that might drop with him.
That's crazy.
Losing his job in Arizona, but then he comes and finds a new home in Minnesota and goes off again. So yeah, quarterback 10. He's still hanging on to that. What are some realistic expectations that we can have for Jefferson coming back? Do we think he's still top five with Dobbs at the under center?
Top five is hard. You know, like if I had Jefferson and I was offered Diggs, I'd take it. If I was offered Chase, I'd take it. If I was offered Tyreek, I'd take it. If I was offered AJ Brown, I'd take it. Is there anyone who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing someone else. CeeDee Lamb, I would take it. I would take CeeDee Lamb over Jefferson rest of season.
For sure.
So he still is easily top 10.
Did you throw Keenan Allen in there? Or would you throw Keenan Allen in there? Currently the wide receiver 4 in half PPR again, but
I feel like that's one of those trades where it's like, if I have Justin Jefferson, I'm not trading him away. Although I probably have a bad record and they still have a bye week and Keenan Allen is passed his bye. So I would be tempted to take that trade.
Yeah.
But if I knew I was going to make playoffs, I would just keep Jefferson and not try to get Allen.
Yeah. That's definitely one that's, you know, up to the situation and your record. What you need, if you can't spare another bye week off, then yeah, maybe go the Keenan Allen route. So we need to start moving a little quicker. So let's talk about your Cowboys. They didn't get the win. The Eagles survived by, you know, only a couple yards. But Dak looked pretty dang good. So what do you have to say about your Cowboys?
Yeah, as a Cowboys fan, I do not blame Dak for this loss. I don't think anyone can. We can't run the ball this year, we being the Cowboys. We can't run the ball this year. Our defense is still good. We went against probably the best offense in the NFL. One of the best offenses, not the Dolphins, because I guess they're historic or whatever, but the Eagles, they're one of the best offenses in the NFL. So I have no problem with Dak. Fantasy-wise, I think he's a great option. But this just proved that the Cowboys are not in that elite tier. Like, the Cowboys very much are a tier below the Eagles, the 49ers, the Dolphins, even. Like, I don't think the Dolphins are like top tier, but I don't think the Cowboys could even hang with them. Chiefs, like, people want to say the Cowboys in the same breath as those teams, and I just can't. And I'm a Cowboys fan, and I want to be optimistic, but we just aren't in that tier. We cannot find a way to win. And so that is my little soapbox as a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, love it. Love the realistic approach there.
But like on a fantasy note, like, I think Dak is great. I think
the name I want to ask you about is Tony Pollard. You said we can't run the ball. Are we done with him? Like, been burnt out on him, or are we still thinking there's better days ahead?
I mean, I do think there's better days ahead, but you couldn't have gotten much worse. So, you know, I think if you try and sell him now, you're getting pennies on the dollar. But so part of me wants to buy low places and hope, and other places I'm ready to just cash out, and I'll take another running back who I want to take my chances with. Like, is there a name you had in mind, to like Pollard or?
Well, I mean, we're going to kind of talk about some rest of season rankings later, but here, just like, at this point, maybe like some
like Pollard or Swift?
I'm taking Swift. Actually, I didn't really see what Swift did this week. 8.4 FPPR. I still think I'm sticking with Swift. The new up and comer, Gus Edwards, who I said wouldn't go over 10 this week, and he had a decent game again. Would you? who are you going to take there?
I would still take Pollard in that situation.
Yeah, that might be a pretty easy one.
I'm trying to think about like
Pacheco.
Woof. See, that's why it's hard because, oh God, that's gross. I would probably take Pollard, but that's the type of trade I would love to do where it's like, if I had Pollard, I'd love to take Pollard and like a, I'd love to take like a Pollard and Adam Thielen and swap it for like Pacheco and like a Puka, or Cooper Kupp.
Those are some good names to maybe talk about like, at a later time.
Because like that could happen. Like, just leverage that and make an upgrade.
Just real quick, are you worried about Puka and Kupp at all?
Honestly, they probably weren't good names to bring up because they have their bye this week. But I think that Stafford will be fine after the bye. That's what I'm hearing. But
what was his injury again?
It was a thumb, I think.
Thumb, man, two thumb injuries.
But they didn't put him on IR.
Yeah. Should come back sooner than later.
That's what I would think.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, let's keep going here. So Burrow's back, baby. Burrow is back. And you know what? I'm just gonna throw it to you. Take your victory lap. Go for it.
I would like to say that I told you all. So I don't remember the context of what exactly we said. I just remember I got really, really heated and had to defend Joe Burrow and his calf. And he proved me right. So thank you, Joe. I really appreciate you. You are the greatest LSU quarterback ever. You're from no other college, just LSU. So
developed in Ohio State.
Yeah, whatever. He came down back to Columbus. Ohio.
He did. He found his way home.
But he's just so good. Like, such a good team leader. Like, they had control of this game the whole time. Like, it wasn't even – I was not worried at all about this game. And he looked great, and he looks healthy, and the Bengals look really hard to stop. And so they may be getting hot just at the right time.
Yeah, they took command early and – held on to that. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 3-game winning streak. No, 4-game. Excuse me. 4-game winning streak with the Texans coming up. So they're rolling. The only thing that isn't on fire there is maybe Ja'Marr Chase had kind of a down game, has the back injury going on. What's that changing? Because obviously he's Ja'Marr Chase. He's going to still do great things rest of the season, I'm sure. But what does the injury change for you?
It doesn't change a lot if he's on the field. My concern is they may hold him out a game. And so I don't know what to expect there at this point in the week. There hasn't been any say on if they're going to hold him out or not, but they have said they're going to be cautious. And they said that he's very, very sore. And it hurt to get up the next morning, and so it was a hard hit. I mean, props to him for coming back in the game, but it was very clear they used him as a decoy. A lot of fake screens, fake, you know, like he'd run a fade and they were never going to go to him, but it opened up for the tight end to get a touchdown and Mixon to get a touchdown and all that.
Yeah, so definitely something to watch there with his injury status. Things change by the day, so check if he's practicing and kind of any news that comes out on that. So Chase might be headed out for a game or two, but we've got some players that are maybe making their way back that we're excited about. So just a couple that have been on IR and have been talk. There's been talk that they might return this week. We have Justin Jefferson coming back from a hamstring injury. Devon Achane coming back from a knee injury, possibly. Khalil Herbert, maybe, was it knee? Do you remember?
He had a high ankle sprain.
High ankle sprain. Okay. Coming back. James Conner, another knee injury. See, knee in- reason I'm saying what their injury was, knee injuries for running backs are always something to watch for me, because you're getting hit at the knees just about every time you carry the ball. So that's definitely a little bit more scary than maybe like a shoulder injury. Well, I don't know. They lower their head and go in. Anyway, we'll move on. Kyler coming back from his long hiatus. Sometimes I get rambling and I don't really know where I'm going with it. So
injuries are scary. Injuries are scary.
We don't like to be injured. Yeah. Kyler coming back for the first time possibly this year. And then David Montgomery, he did not go on IR, but he had the rib cartilage injury that had kept him out the last 2 weeks. And Jahmyr Gibbs had a field day. So which one of those, I guess we'll just do it this way, which one of those sticks out to you most that you're watching?
I'm probably watching Achane the most. That just,
yeah, that's a good one.
Those like 3 weeks were just so much fun. And Mostert's snap percentage has dipped below 50%. It was at 55, I think, 2 weeks ago, and 53 last week. And then it was like right at 49 this week. And so it seems like there is a huge space to put Achane back in lineups and for them to use him really well. And I'm excited to see what he can do once he's healthy again.
Yeah. Like you said, Mostert snap count going down, and that's without Achane there. So, well, here I go again. Last episode, I said exactly what Alex said, and I was just about to walk right into that with you, but stop myself, because I'm like, this sounds like what you just said, so why am I even saying this? But I'll say maybe besides Jefferson, Jefferson's obviously the big one, but probably David Montgomery is the one I'm watching, just because he was really good before he got injured. And then Gibbs has been really good since Montgomery's been out. So it's like, what direction does Campbell take it there? We have every reason to believe that Montgomery comes back and assumes his role, because that's how it was being used before when they were both healthy, but something to definitely watch. So who, if you have one of them, say you have Gibbs, are you playing him still again this week with Montgomery coming back? Yeah,
I'm for sure playing him. And
RB1, 2, flex?
I don't like him as my RB1, but like, I traded away Gibbs this week and it was super hard. I'm in a league with some guys I was in fraternity with, and I traded away Gibbs and James Cook, and acquired David Montgomery and Devon Achane. And I'm excited, but there's a lot of risk involved there. And so, yeah, we'll see how it plays out, but I'm very much invested in it.
Did I hear correctly? You traded Gibbs and Cook for Montgomery and Achane?
Yep.
Wow. I'd like to be in a league with the person you did that with.
I mean,
sorry if they listen to this podcast, not hating on you, but that's a good trade.
In his defense, he is a game behind me, and I think he's trying to like shore up his place in playoffs, and I am pretty much guaranteed in playoffs. And so I lost this week and he won. So we're both now tied. So I need Achane to come back and come back hot.
Well, if I was a betting man, I'd put money on you, but we'll move on. So rest of season rankings, just to round out the show, we've got quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. So I'm going to throw two names at you. One that was maybe drafted a lot lower or not at all during draft season. And then another one that was drafted pretty high at their position. And you're going to tell me if you think that it's flipped and the lower drafted player has produced more this year or is better rest of season. So the first one that we have here at quarterback is CJ Stroud after his huge game, or Tua? Who are you liking there? Obviously, Shroud being the lower drafted player.
I'm probably still taking Tua. Like, what we saw the first half of the season is, I don't think it's a fluke. I think there's obvious regression to the mean, but you know, like CJ Stroud's going to regress to the mean too. And so, you know, man, I don't know. I'm taking Tua. I'm taking Tua. He's tied to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Devon Achane. Like, I can't not take them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as much as I'd love to back my Ohio State guy, Tua is in the better offense for sure there and has done it multiple times this year. So, but I don't hate taking a shot on Stroud. I think he's definitely gotten to that same level as Tua, but maybe just not surpassed him. All right, so now with running back, we've got Gibbs, who we've kind of talked about a little bit. Or Bijan Robinson, rest of season.
Oh man.
Wheels are turning, thinking.
I am gonna take. I hate this game.
We'll play it again next week just for you.
Hate this game, and I came up with this question. I'll probably take Bijan, but I'm probably only taking. No, I'm gonna take Gibbs because Bijan is not past his bye yet. And
Ooh, that's a good point there.
I just can't, I can't do this thing with Arthur Smith anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. I saw a quote that he put out there that Bijan off the ball takes focus away from other players being able to produce. And it's like, why'd you draft him eighth overall then if you're gonna use him as a decoy? So that
Did he really
just
say that?
he did. Unless the account I saw it multiple times, so I can't imagine they were all trolling. But if that's true, that
It's
hurts
the Kyle
fantasy
Pitts
managers.
plan, man. It's the Kyle Pitts plan.
It's the Atlanta Falcons plan. It's where top draft picks go to die.
Sheesh.
Oh,
So
yeah, I don't know.
are you taking Bijan or Gibbs?
I'm trying right now actually to do a very similar trade there where I give up Gibbs and try to get Bijan. There's more to the package, but I think I'm still sticking with Bijan and writing Arthur Smith a very potent letter saying use your number eight overall draft pick. But no, I think if he gets the opportunities, Bijan is just the athlete, the top 10 draft pick athlete that is gonna produce. So we just keep our fingers crossed and hope that happens. I'm out on Pitts and Drake London, but I'm hoping there's at least one that comes out of that dumpster fire in Atlanta.
Yeah, I did Pitts as either my start of the week this week or last week. I should have just said Atlanta tight end because
Yeah.
Jonnu Smith had a great game, but
Running sweeps and everything. Like, what is this? That's
yeah,
why you
what?
drafted an athletic tight end to be a crossover wide receiver tight end, not
Yeah,
Jonnu Smith.
or whenever you're on the goal line, instead of running the ball with your backup tight end, how about we run the
Yes.
ball with our starting running back?
Yep.
It is ridiculous.
I think I saw they were on the 1 yard line and had a false start, ran it with Jonnu, threw it to Jonnu, and then ran it with Algier, and they didn't get in the end zone. It's like, maybe you have two other players or three other players that could help you get in there. But
I
anyway,
just,
we
yeah,
said we weren't going to
I,
talk about the Falcons.
well,
Here we are.
this last thing I'll say. You have a guarantee that I will not have a Falcon as a start of the week again this season. Unless Arthur Smith is not the Falcons head coach.
I think that is a good plan there. I'm going to stick to that too. All right, wide receiver. We've got Deontay Johnson being the lower drafted of the two here, and Devontae Adams. Has there been a flip that's happened there for you? Adams has had some bad weeks, and Johnson is, you said before the show, I'll let you say the stat, but since he's been back, what is he?
Yeah, so what prompted this is since Deontay's return in week 7, Deontay Johnson is the wide receiver 6. Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind taking.
It just feels dirty, doesn't it? to say Johnson over Adams, but
I mean, it's almost as dirty as Aiden O'Connell's mustache. So I don't know, man.
Now I'm gonna have nightmares.
I think it's hard because it sounds gross, but you know, just a reminder, like as we do these questions, the whole thing is like you shouldn't do Adams for Deontay straight up. Like the Deontay owner would obviously accept that in a heartbeat. But like if it's a package and it's like you're looking at it and you think rest of season, yeah, Deontay probably is going to be better than Adams, then find a package that lands you other stud players, but it looks lopsided because the names are just so big. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes complete sense.
Who would you take?
If the wide receiver piece is what's hanging you up on the trade, don't feel like it's the wrong move to take Johnson over Adams. I bought Johnson in the offseason in our league of record, and I was bummed to see him go out, but since he's been back, he's been great. So I'm going to stick with Johnson and say that he's got the better outlook rest of season. Raiders even looked better this week with three offensive touchdowns with their new interim head coach. But Adams still didn't get much production. So didn't have much production. So I'm going to stick with Johnson there. So I think we're in, that's what you said, right?
Yeah. I think I'm there too.
So we're in agreement there. Good, good. All right. So let's finish it off with tight end. We've got George Kittle and then Taysom Hill. Are you on that Taysom train?
Yeah, I'm on the Taysom train.
Whoop, whoop, coming through town.
Kittle is great whenever Debo or Ayuk or both are not there. But Taysom Hill is as good as you're going to get. Like, take aside, like, Hockenson and Andrews and Kelsey. Like, he's the goal line back. He is the gadget player. He is going to get
Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, he's going to get manufactured touches. It's like, I don't know. I have no problem starting him because there's always a chance at a passing touchdown because Carr isn't elite enough. They're going to leave him on the field all the time. And he's a good enough goal line back because he's better at the goal line than Kamara is. And he's a good receiving option. So I have no problem playing Taysom Hill there.
Yeah, Kittle's kind of your traditional boomer bust tight end. He's going to have those incredible games, and then he's going to have those one catch games. And looking at Taysom over the last 4 weeks, he's been tight end 6, 3 of those, and tight end 3, week 8. So you can't ask for much better than that with the tight end landscape we're in these days. So I agree with you. I think Taysom Hill is the not only the exciting play there, because you can put him at quarterback or tight end, and he's putting up 20 plus some weeks. So if you're in a bind, throw him in your quarterback.
Yeah, since week 6, Taysom Hill has only had 1.4 points less than Kelsey.
No way.
Yep.
I mean, that's actually that's believable with the 2 down weeks Kelsey's had, but he had like 30 plus the week before, so that's crazy.
I mean, that's PPR, you know.
Yeah. And
wow, that's crazy.
Hill really has more rushing production, so for him to even still be hanging up there with him in PPR. Crazy, but that's the fantasy world we live in. Things change fast and you never know what's going to happen. So all right, well, do you have anything else you want to add, or are we ready to get out of here?
I'm excited for this week. I'm excited for these players coming back from injury and what these new offenses can look like. And I'm sad that it's already halfway over.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. You're excited for the season to start, and then you look up and you're over halfway through. So just enjoy it while you got it, I guess, with all things in life.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it's happened.
Love it. Braden Crow is back on the podcast with the great sayings. We missed you dearly. All right. Well, yeah, that'll do it for us. We just appreciate the heck out of you for listening to our podcast and our returning listeners, we thank you for your faithfulness, and we'll oh, don't forget to follow us on social media. Sorry, this is my first time doing this, so I've got to throw the social media.
You're doing great, man. You're
Thanks.
Doing great.
Thanks. I need the energy, the encouragement. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Average Pros FF. And we're also on Facebook. So keep up with all the content we've got putting out or that we're putting out there. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast, and we will catch you at the next one. See ya.
Your time is valuable, and we thank you for sharing a little of it with the Average Pros. For more clear, concise, and competitive analysis, be sure to follow us on Twitter at AverageProsFF. That's at AverageProsFF. Editing and production by Jonathan Rates. Voiceover by Ben Johnson. Music by Josh Lippi and the Overtimers. We'll catch you at the next one.